Good morning. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here once again. I'd like to consider a thought that's a continuation of something that we've kind of been going through in the past few weeks. And really the underlying thread is holiness. The scripture, many scriptures, give us the instruction that we should be holy in our lives. And that means something in a practical way. It's not just some sort of pie in the sky abstract notion, but it's something that plays out in our everyday lives. It's how we live. We live to glorify God. The scripture says glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We belong to God. We'll read that scripture. Maybe we'll go ahead and turn to it. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Please pray for me this morning. First Corinthians 6 and 19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." A few weeks ago, the Lord gave me some thoughts about the words of our mouth and how we need to exemplify holiness in those things. And so we did that. And last Sunday, we had some other thoughts. It was about holiness in the way that we live in our relationships with each other, and the way that we're supposed to be patient and long-suffering. This is another category that I have to present this morning. I'd like to talk about holiness in our bodies by the help of the Lord. It's not going to mean exactly the same thing in practical application for everybody, but everybody is called to be holy in our body and in our spirit. It says you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I thought about holiness and the way, really, there are two main ways that holiness plays out in our lives. The first is that we are stewards of things that God gives us. When God says glorify your body, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, the reason he says that is because those are the two things that we have some control over. We don't really have any control. I can't glorify God with things I have no control over. But I can glorify God in my body because I have some control over it. I can glorify God in my spirit because I have a certain amount of control over it. And so he said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, because you're bought with a price. The way that the holiness, I said, it plays out in two different ways. One way is that the Lord gave us those things that we have control over, and so we are stewards in that we are supposed to take care of the things and not neglect them that God's given us. In a spiritual sense, we have scriptures like, neglect not the gift that is in thee from the putting on of my hands. Stir up the gift that's in you. Study to show thyself approved unto God. The things, exercise thyself unto godliness. Those are the kind of ways that we can exemplify holiness in our spirit toward God. Well, there are ways that we can do it in our body too. There are ways that we can take care of ourselves and be good stewards. The Lord gave us, he put us here, and he gave us a body, and that body is the means by which we are going to do his work. We're going to do things with it. We have a finite amount of resources that we can use, and the Lord can expand those, or he can take away from those. But a lot of them, we have a lot to do with how much of them we're able to use and have. The Lord wants us to be good stewards of our bodies. And then the other side, the other part of holiness is that in addition to being stewards, we are to give the things the Lord gave us back to Him. Let me give you a story to illustrate what I'm talking about. This is somebody who didn't do these things, or did one of them but not the other. Remember the story that Jesus told about the man that had a really good crop one year, and he said, "You know, the Lord blessed him with the crop. I believe the Lord blessed him and gave him a really prosperous yield that year." And he said, "This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns." I don't really necessarily find fault in that itself. I don't know the man's situation. He could have had such a small amount of land devoted to storage that the only way to store the things that his current crop had yielded would be to pull everything down because it wasn't efficient enough and build new. I don't have necessarily, I question the business sense of it. Maybe it would have been better for him to just add on to what he already had. But he felt like that the very best course of action was to pull down everything that he had and build something good. But then he said, and I'm going to say, "Soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry." And God called him a fool. You know, that man was to be commended for being a good businessman, for being a good, maybe a husbandman or farmer. He probably did a good job. He was probably diligent in tilling his soil. He probably did all the things that he could do to produce the crop that he had. He probably got up early and he probably put in a lot of hours. He was probably good at hiring people. He probably had some good help. He probably had a good way of harvesting and good farming strategies for planting and for tilling and for rotation of his crops and all of that. That's all part of being a good steward. And the thing is that we can be a good steward of the things the Lord gives to us. That's really not maybe the best language. We can be smart with the things the Lord gives us and still not do it for the purpose of giving it to God. I believe that this rich man was smart. He was a smart businessman. God blessed his work and he had a good crop. But then at the end of it, he said, "I've got all this. Now what am I going to do with it? I'm going to use it to benefit me. I'm going to use it to make sure that I never have anything to worry about again. Not worried about all the poor people. I'm not worried about the funds for the temple. I'm not worried about my parents. I'm not worried about any of that. All I'm worried about is me." And so that's the part that he didn't glorify God in. The Lord called him a fool. And so you know that concept of holiness, being a good steward, and also presenting ourselves to God, a living sacrifice. You know, both of those are very important in holiness, to do both of those. If we neglect one, then it's really a bad thing. The Lord wants to teach us how to do both, to use what we have. You know, the Lord could have created us, and I've said this before, I think I said it in the last few weeks, the Lord could have created us where we just go to heaven from the get-go. He could have said, "You know what, I just want a bunch of people to be with me in heaven. So I'm just going to create all these people, and they're going to be with me in heaven." But he didn't do that. He created us here on this earth. And you know, heaven is something wonderful, and it's magnificent, it's something to look forward to, but work for Jesus comes first. And so whenever we stop and think, we need to consider that I have resources here that God's placed under my jurisdiction. They're to a large extent under my control. And so one part of our prayer needs to be, "Lord, how can I best use what you've given me for your glory?" And the second part of our prayer needs to be, "Lord, How can I give what you've given me back to you? I want to do both. I want to take good care of it, but I don't want to hoard it. I don't want to keep it for my own benefit. I want to take good care of it, but the reason I want to take good care of it is because you've entrusted it to me to do something with. And so I want to make the very best use of it I possibly can, and then I want to give it back to you. Like to go to a very similar scripture to the first one we read in 1 Corinthians. This one's in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And there are many ways that you can defile the temple, which is the body that the Lord gave you. You can defile it by dressing in a manner that's not conducive to holiness. You can defile it by speaking in a manner that is a reproach to the gospel. You can defile it by going places and doing things, and by getting yourself involved into causes that hurt the work of the Lord. You can defile it by doing all of those things. You can also defile it by abusing the body itself. That is why people have taught consistently down through the years in Christian circles against vices like smoking, because it's something that doesn't do anything to promote the gospel of Christ. It puts poison into your body. It's addictive. It's got power over you. It's something that people use to trust in and to calm themselves rather than something good that God made. It's got very distinct, it's called one of the vices. And I just mentioned that one, but there are many things that you can do that can defile your body, that can poison it, that can weaken it, that can cause it to not live as long. I remember when we were teenagers, my dad said, you know what? He got sick. And he said the Lord started talking to him. As best I can remember, something happened where he said, you know what? In our shop, we've been spraying lacquer and other chemicals for many years and without any kind of ventilation or masks or anything. And my dad felt like that some of the problems that he had came from doing that. And he felt convicted about it. And he said, if the Lord will help me remember, I'm going to wear a mask spraying those chemicals after this. And so he went and he bought a real expensive mask, one that was really good, and it used compressed air from another source, and it constantly blew in air. And I appreciate him doing that. You know that's one of those kind of things are the things that the Lord wants us. He wants us to care, to take care about our bodies, because if we're doing things that we know are just harmful and defiling them and causing us to not creating problems down the road, the Lord will be faithful, I believe, to deal with us about those things. I'd like to go to Colossians 3. Now, we went here a couple weeks ago, too, maybe even last week, but I'd like to go back there. Colossians 3 and 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, so we talked last Sunday, I think it was last Sunday, about how this scripture isn't just talking about setting your affection on heaven. I just want to make heaven my home. That's good. But this is a lot deeper than that. This is talking about, I want the fruits of God in my life. I want the things that are above to be present and growing and increasing and flowing out of my life. I don't want the things of the earth, not talking about cake and ice cream and fishing and all of, the things that are earthly, sensual, devilish, the things that come from beneath, the forces, the influence that come from the devil. I don't want those things polluting me. And so I'm going to set my affections on things above. And so that is a backdrop or a precursor to scriptures like, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Because the peace of God is something from above. I've got to throw something out in order to make room for that. So something's going to rule in my heart, so I'm going to let the peace of God, not grudges, not envies, not those kind of things. And so, on the heels of that scripture, Paul said in Philippians 3 and 17, maybe I'll just read it, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Or in other words, they set their affections on earthly things. The things that are from beneath. The things that defile and corrupt and are base and are not conducive to glorifying God and spreading His gospel and being a good steward and all of the things, giving ourselves to God. He says in another place in Galatians 5 and 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And it gives a long list. But you know, along with idolatry and witchcraft and adultery and all of those big ticket items, he's got the word drunkenness and revelings and such like. And then he said, "Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And then it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," it gives the fruits of the Spirit. And the very last one is temperance. You know, the Lord, when I was a teenager, I was able to eat more than anybody I knew. And I could put it away. I could go to a pizza buffet. And I remember one time I went to the pizza buffet and I had 25 pieces of pizza and 3 cinnamon rolls. And then I got right back up and went back to work. It didn't seem to bother me. You know, the Lord spoke to me one day. And I was saved. I hadn't really thought about it. And the Lord spoke to me one day and said, "You are a glutton. You're a glutton. You don't need all that. There's no point in it. And you're doing damage, long-term damage to your body by doing that." And then I started reading the scriptures. I think about the point when this happened was I was in Texas. And there was a steakhouse there that they had a 72-ounce steak that if you could eat it, they'd give it to you. And I said, "Oh, I can do that." And so we were gonna go to this steakhouse, and they said, "All right, we'll take you. The other guys that were, and we were gonna go, and I was gonna eat this steak. You know, the Lord started talking to me about this. I was, I don't know, about 18 years old, maybe. The Lord started talking to me, and I told the guys, "You know what? I don't think the Lord would be pleased with this. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it." And so I didn't do it. I don't know if I would have been able to do it or not, but it doesn't matter. You know, the Lord wants us to establish some principles in our lives. He wants us, and you know, I can't get this blackboard or even a much bigger one and write all of the things. This is okay to eat. This is not okay to eat. This much is okay to eat. Everybody needs this many calories in a day. Everybody needs this many grams of sugar in a day. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Everybody has different, this is something the Lord has to help us to know. And it's not just eating. What if I had told you, okay, you've got to have this much sleep a day. You've got to have this much exercise a day. You've got to walk this much a day. You've got to keep away from this kind of food and that and all of that. You know, these are the things that this is part of what we heard in the Sunday school, that the Lord wants to lead us by His Spirit. And you know, leading us by His Spirit isn't just in things like, who do I need to go talk to? Who do I need to spread the gospel? It comes down to personal things like, you know what? The Lord will tap us on the shoulder. You know what? You really need to do this. You need to make this change in your life. Do you know how this message came to me this week? And the Lord started talking to me and dealing with me about it. I checked my blood pressure, and it was the highest that I've seen it in years. And I started praying about it. I said, Lord, what do I need to do? I've got a disposition for high blood pressure genetically, okay? And so maybe I can't do anything about it. This is what I thought, you know, what do I need to do? Lord, what do I need? You know, the Lord wants us to ask Him how to do things. And so I asked Him, Lord, what do I need to do? And the next morning I got up and I started going to work. And the Lord, it's like He got right there in my vehicle and He started talking to me. And He helped me to understand. Now this, you know that a lot of things can affect things like blood pressure, okay? And I'm not picking on this one thing. I'll bring that out in a little bit. But there are indicators in our bodies that can help us to know. There are indicators, blood sugar is one, blood pressure. Do you know these are things that nobody knew anything about a couple hundred years ago? But medical knowledge is increasing. Lord help me. I've got some thoughts here that I want to bring out, and I want to be able to do it the way the Lord wants me to. I got in the vehicle, and the Lord helped me to understand that the times that I have noticed my blood pressure being high corresponded to times when I've been really short on sleep. For nights and nights and nights. And so I thought, well, I got to do this. I got to do that. And what do I do? And then the Lord helped me to realize, you know what? I try to fit too much into a day. Every day I try to fit too much in. And the Lord gave me this much in a day. He gave me so much. And then tomorrow's another day. And so the Lord started talking to me about this. And you know, this is something, you could call it a family thing. Our family, the Gellenbeck family, loves to work. They love to work hard and they think it's good to work hard. And you know what? It is good to work hard. But you know what else? It's good to rest. It's good to take time. To sleep, it's good to take time to do all of these things because God gave those things as a mechanism for helping us heal. And so this is my personal, I cannot go to you and say, okay, or if you have high blood pressure, you're not getting enough sleep. I researched high blood pressure. There's a lot of things that cause high blood pressure. Sleep is one of the things. But so, you know what? I believe that a lot of times God has steered people. You know what I could do? I could go and I could say, okay, well, my blood pressure is going up. All right, what can I take that'll lower the blood pressure? You know, the Lord, you know, I had a red flag about that because the Lord wanted to change something in me, in what I'm doing. I don't, and the Lord was saying, you know what? I don't want you to do that. And you know, blood pressure, blood sugar, there are other indicators that can gradually build up over time. And what they are, there's many of them. What they are is indicators that were likely not doing something or are doing something that there needs to be an adjustment in. And so maybe not. Maybe it's something, there are things that people can't do anything about. But you know, we need to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm having this problem. And with blood pressure, this is something that the Lord, that I've done some research on. It's something that the heart pumps a certain amount of blood, okay? And when the blood pressure increases, it is the body's response. It is the body's response to conditions in our body that it's trying to overcome. And so it increases some things. It's the body's response, but it's also the result of conditions sometimes in our arteries. It's different things. And so it's like a gauge of how we're doing in some other areas. Blood sugar, same way. And there are other indicators too. This is what the Lord gave me. And Lord, help me to be able to bring this out in a good way where it's balanced, where it doesn't, I'm not trying to stick anyone with this. The Lord just gave me this. The Lord wants us to be good stewards. And so yes, I can go pop something that'll eliminate the symptom. But the Lord wanted me to change my lifestyle. And so I didn't do so good of a job last night. I had a setback in something I was doing, and then anyway, and I'm willing to take responsibility for it. I didn't do so good a job last night, but the night before and the night before that, I got a lot more sleep, and I woke up feeling better, and all of that. And I intend to make that change permanent by the help of the Lord. But if we go, and sometimes we can just go and pop something quick, and it'll eliminate the symptom. And then, I don't need to change anything. Well, the Lord wants us to be good stewards. And so I believe that there are times that He put things in our bodies to help us to know, you know what? You need to change this aspect of what you're doing in your life. May the Lord help us all to be good stewards of our bodies. Like to, and then in 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians 6. He starts off, before he says that your body, that glorify your God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, he says in the 12th verse, all things are lawful to me, unto me, but all things are not expedient or profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, or meats are, food is, in other words, food is for the belly, and the belly is for food. But the Lord will destroy both it and them. And then it says, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And the thrust of the thought here, it's talking a lot about immorality and all of that. But the Lord wants us to glorify Him in our body. And there are things that we can do that take us captive. I don't want to do anything that causes me to be a servant to it. Whether it's some people get addicted to eating too much, some people get addicted to caffeine, some people get addicted to sugar, some people, there's all kinds of things. I don't want to be brought, and so we could make a law, I could write on the blackboard, okay, you can't have this substance, you can't have this substance. You know that there are some people that get addicted to things and other people aren't even tempted by it. There are things that I have to stay away from. The other people aren't bothered by, and it's the same the other way around. The point is that the Lord wants us to not be brought under the power of anything. I'm not gonna, you know, if let me put it this way. If I'm diabetic and I know that I have to monitor what I eat, and I see something and I've just got to have it. It's something that it's too good to pass up. It's something, but I know that it's going to cause me problems later. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to look at things and say, no, no, I'm not going to do that. I believe, I'm not going to tell you things like dessert and all that. I believe the Lord gave us things where we can eat them. And they're good and they're enjoyable and all that. And the body is designed to naturally heal itself. Do you know that? The body is designed, if we eat something that maybe if we ate a lot of it, it wouldn't be good for us. The body is designed to be able to assimilate those things and take the good out of them and use it and do away with the bad and keep healing itself. And with all the things that we're supposed to do, proper nutrition, proper rest, proper exercise, all of those things, the Lord has a plan for us to be able to continue and do His work. Not indefinitely. The outward man perishes. We're all going to die, and we're going to die of something. But the Lord wants us to do the things that we know to do and be responsible and be good stewards for Him. And I believe that the Lord wants us to take advantage of the different levels of knowledge that come into effect. I believe, you know, that in 1950, medical knowledge doubled every 50 years, according to the National Institute of Health. In 2020, it was estimated that medical knowledge doubles every 73 days. People are learning so much about the human body and how it works, and things that people used to think are good for us, they say are not. You know that I believe the information is still coming to us, but thank the Lord, we have the Spirit of the Lord to help us. All I'm saying is that you need to ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to take care of my body? How do you want me to be responsible for it? Now, I'd like to shift focus. May the Lord help us. Here's part two. Philippians 2 and 25. This is Paul speaking. He said, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me." This was someone, it doesn't say that he had abused himself. It didn't say that he had not taken care of himself. But he had given himself to the Lord, and he had done it in such a way where it really taxed him. But Paul said, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation." Could he have been wiser? Maybe so. But this is a man that maybe the Lord wanted to teach him something about it. But his desire was to give himself completely to the Lord, and that's what he did. And he expended so much effort and so much energy that it made him sick, about killed him. And I read in two other places in Philippians, if you go to the fourth chapter, he said, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And then in the 23rd verse of that same chapter, it says, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And then the little postscript there at the end, the footnote says, to the Philippians, written from Rome by Epaphroditus. So I'm not sure if Epaphroditus was the one that actually wrote the words that Paul dictated, or if he was the one that conveyed the epistle to the Philippians. But he was someone that was busy. He was busy doing the work of God. And he had given himself to God. And you might could say, well, that's foolish. Nobody should do that. And if you do that, if you try to work for the Lord and you do it in such a way where it costs you your health, then the Lord's not pleased with that. You know, I believe that the Lord wants to teach us wisdom, and the Lord may have had some things for Epaphroditus to learn after this point. But Paul said he was doing the best he knew to do. He had addicted himself. Well, I don't think it used that word. I think actually that's talking about the house of Fortunus or somebody like that, addicted themselves to the work of the ministry. But Epaphroditus was someone, he was busy. He said, I've got some stuff that you sent. Guess who brought it? Epaphroditus. And then it said, written to the Roman, or written from Rome to the Philippians. By who? Epaphroditus. This guy he wasn't idle. He was somebody that had given himself. Do you know that some people, I've talked about being a steward, but you can be a steward to the point where you make it a god. And you say, and you could have this routine. I've seen people before that had such an unbreakable health routine that it was hard for them to step outside of that to really do anything for anybody. I've got this certain bedtime, and when it's time for bed, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to turn my phone off. Good luck. If you need help, call somebody else for prayer. I'm not going to be available, that type of thing. You know, I believe there's times I've turned my phone off before because maybe I was extra tired and I had to have some rest. And there's been times when I've had to go and take some time off and all that. The Lord understands all of that. But the Lord wants us to give our lives to Him. And He wants us to give our strength to Him. And He wants us to do things sometimes that are taxing. You know, the Lord wants us to make it a general practice to take care of our bodies. But that doesn't mean if somebody comes at, you're at a camp meeting, somebody comes at 11 p.m. and says, I'm fighting a battle with the devil and I need you to help and pray for me. You can stay up and do that kind of thing. And yes, you might be extra tired. Yes, you might end up getting sick out of the deal, but the Lord has a way of helping us in the things. There's a difference between just wasting our bodies and saying, well, I just want to go to heaven and I don't think anything that I'm going to do is going to make any difference. So I'm going to eat whatever I want and I'm not going to exercise and I'm just going to get 4 hours of sleep a night because I enjoy doing things in the other 20 and I'm not. There's a difference between doing that and saying, you know what? I'm going to try to take care of myself, but I want to give myself to the work of the Lord. And I want to do things for the Lord, even if it costs me something. Even if it, you know, that I think about the lady that took the alabaster box of ointment and she broke it. It's something that she had. It was worth 300 pence and she broke it and it flowed all over the Lord. And there were people that said, this woman isn't being a good steward. But the Lord said she didn't use it for herself. What if she had taken it and broken it over her own head? Then it would have been lost and Jesus would have had something entirely different to say. But this woman, maybe she wasted the box of ointment. I don't know. Maybe she could have done something smart. But the point is that she wasted it on the Lord. And so there are times that we have resources that maybe we should be a little smarter with it. Maybe the Lord has things to teach us. But the crux of the matter, the situation, the very first thing that we looked at, where's the heart? Where's the heart in the situation? Maybe the Lord has something to teach them, but where was the heart? Was the heart to serve the Lord and all of that? And so may the Lord help us. We can have this routine, and I think that an exercise routine's good. I don't have one. I probably ought to get one. I've had somebody tell me the other day, you really, really need to do cardio because Gelenbecks have bad hearts and you better do something about that. And maybe I need to do that. I'm thinking about doing it. But you know, I'm not going to fill my life so full of health stuff that when somebody wants me to pray with them or somebody, I need to go and help somebody. Well, I can't do that because 9:30 is my bedtime and I'd get back at 9:45 and I'm sorry, I can't help you. The Lord wants us to be able to do things where we stretch ourselves and expend ourselves, but it's not for ourselves, it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So Paul, Jesus said, maybe I'll catch this one first. Jesus said in John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. All of us have a body. We have something that's ours to keep, but it's not for us to polish and keep on a shelf and keep it as good as we can just to be pretty to look at. We're supposed, you know, the Lord gave us and we have to be balanced, but you know, you could say, well, I'm not going to go to bed because when I sleep, I'm going to be laying there for 8 hours and that's 8 hours that I could be doing stuff for the Lord. So I'm going to do my work during the day and I'm going to work for the Lord at night. And I'm going to just keep all of my time. You know, the Lord gave rest. He gave it for us. He used our body, heals with it. We could go to that kind of extreme, but the Lord wants us to take as proper of a balance as we can. But yet, in all of that, say, Lord, I want to be a good steward for you. And I want to preserve my body so that you can use it. But Lord, I want to use it for you. May the Lord help us to know how to do this. This is where the leading by the Spirit of the Lord comes in. So Paul said in Acts 20 and 22, he was about to go to Jerusalem and some people came and warned him. I think one guy even bound him up and said, you're going to get, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to get bound up. You're going to get thrown in prison. And Paul said, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And John in 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Maybe we ought to prayerfully consider whether the Lord wants us to expend our lives in a certain way. If there's an opportunity where we can do things, but it's going to really take a toll on us, it's something that really shouldn't be just considered lightly. Maybe we can do it, and maybe the Lord would say, you know what, they did the best they could. But it's, I believe, lazy, if I can use that term, to just go to an extreme and do something, and the Lord may have another plan for us where, you know what, you used up all your strength on this, and I wanted you to do this for me over here. May the Lord help us. We need to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. But when the Lord calls us to do things that are an expenditure of the resources which he has given us, may we cheerfully give those things up and say, Lord, this is all yours anyway. And when I'm done, you're going to take me to heaven. I don't count my life dear unto myself. And I don't want my life to sit on a shelf and look pretty. It abides alone that way. The Lord said, if a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it brings forth much fruit. And the Lord wants us to bring forth much fruit. And so we're going to have to give up the things that just feel good and the lusts of our flesh and the things that attract us and the things that we can give ourselves to that spend us up, and may we waste our lives on the Lord. Maybe that's enough for this morning. You pray for me.